Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to John. John 1. Y'all have to put up with me this morning. I've got allergies bad. I don't want to sneeze. Man, this microphone would blow your ears out of here. John chapter 1, verse 35. Again the next day, John stood with his two disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour, and one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which translated a stone. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God. I thank you for your power. And Lord, we realize without your Spirit opening our hearts, we will not understand this message. But Lord, we realize too that there's people here that need to hear and that's come seeking this morning. And Lord, I pray as they come seeking that you will be faithful to your word and speak to their searching heart. And God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, when I get to heaven, there's a lot of people I want to see and talk to. I want to see all my loved ones that have gone on, but I want to see old Moses. I'd like to see Moses and just see what the character looks like. Interesting character. He may be looking and saying, "Yeah, you look kind of like I thought you'd look too, ugly." But I'd like to see him, Daniel. I always thought Daniel was an interesting man in the Old Testament about the lion's den, what he thought when he put him in there. And his faith in God, man, I tell you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were standing forth for God, I just wanted to see those young guys because their faith was in God, and they stood out as young men of their day. And young people, I pray you stand out like them in your school, that you'll just stand up and say, "You know, we're going to serve God no matter what." And I know you go through a lot in school starting back, and there'll be a lot of things that you have to shun and push aside, but stand up for Jesus. And then I want to see King David and just ask him and talk to him about his life. It's an interesting life. And then there's a lot of people in the New Testament I want to see. And Paul, I'd like to see him and talk to him a moment. But one guy I really want to talk about this morning is Andrew. Andrew was an encourager. Andrew was a young man, I believe, with a real purpose. He was an interesting man to me. It says Andrew is described as Simon Peter's brother. Now, how many of you like to be described as somebody else's brother? You know, don't you have a name? I always wanted to say, "This is so-and-so," not "This is the brother of," or "This is somebody's husband," or "This is somebody's wife." They got a name, and he was always introduced as Simon Peter's brother, and he seems not to ever get a whole lot of attention, and, you know, yet he was an encourager, even though he always walked, I believe, in Peter's shadow. Andrew was a young man that was an encourager, and yet God used him in a mighty way. An ordinary person. You know, I thank God for ordinary people. That's who I am, ordinary people. Just one of the boys, and don't want to act like some highfalutin preacher that doesn't have time for you. Just one of the ordinary guys that stand out. That was Andrew. Not such a talented man, but yet God used him in a mighty, mighty way. And you know, God can take the ordinary and bless in a mighty way. Now, the first thing we see in being used of God is, one, you've got to be usable. First thing I noticed about Andrew here in this story, he was a usable guy. How do you be usable? Well, if you're going to be usable, you've got to be saved. You see, if you want to be used of God this morning, you've got to be saved. We can't be used of God unless God comes in our life and saves us. Listen to what the Bible says about Andrew. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now what a glorious, glorious day. That day when Andrew met Jesus and salvation came into his life. Oh, what a day to remember, folks. That day that Jesus Christ came into your life. I will never forget the day that Jesus Christ came into my life. I was 21, 22, something like that. I'd been going to church all my life, but that day that Jesus Christ actually came in my life, oh, happy day. Remember that little song? Oh, happy day when Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy. Boy, we got after it. Oh, man. Back then, we were getting after it. Oh, happy day. Amen. We had the moves, folks. Our youth group, our youth bunch had the moves. Man, when he washed our sins away. Wasn't it a happy day for you? Man, I know it was for me and my wife, and I know it was for Andrew. It was a wonderful day when God came into his life, and he became usable. You see, Jesus was announced into his life. The Bible tells us John was baptizing. He was baptizing people about into the baptism, and he saw Jesus coming. A few years ago, we got to go by there and see right outside of Bethany there and the Jordan River. And John saw Jesus coming. I imagine he saw him coming down along the banks of the river. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And what a day when Andrew was there with John and for the announcement of the Lord to be proclaimed, behold! I imagine John was one of these rough, tough guys, anybody that eat honey and locusts. Now, Zach tells me those locusts are good. That's something, our dog likes them, yeah. But that's something that I haven't acquired a taste for yet. But it's biblical, so you may never tell. But what a day he pronounced to the people. John knew about the Old Testament sacrifices where they came every year and offered up a lamb for the sins of the people. And the high priests were always taking that lamb and shedding the blood and going through the sacrifice that that God had showed them and how to do it. And John was aware of that. He was aware of the sacrifice. Thousands and thousands of lambs had been offered on the altar all these years. And now when the Lamb of God comes, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." All the lambs throughout the centuries, and now this is the Lamb of God. Warren Wiersbe says in his book, "The message of the Bible can be summed up in two questions." In the Old Testament, remember Isaac saw Abraham and said, "Father, where is the lamb?" And in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it tells us, He's here! He's here! Behold, the Lamb is here! So the whole Bible, where is the Lamb? He's here with us. Oh, that heavenly confirmation when John says, the Lamb of God is with us. I want you to see Him. In 1 John 1:32, John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on Him, talking about Christ. And then in Matthew 3:16-17, the Bible says, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You see, John introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God, and God introduced Jesus as, this is my Son. So he had an introduction from John and from God, and it was a confirmation. And the Bible says one of the two disciples that heard and saw this was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Now, Jesus was personally accepted that day, and oh, what a day it was as Andrew was there and saw the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and John has declared it, and he heard the voice of God saying, this is my Son. And then he says, I'm going to accept that. Now, you're here this morning, and you came seeking a Savior. You realize that in and of yourself, you cannot save yourself. You're lost without Christ, and you're on the way to a devil's hell. If things doesn't change, that's where you'll spend an eternity, and you don't want to spend an eternity separated from God, and you know that. So you come this morning, and in your heart, you realize that you're lost, and you want to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Son of God is Jesus Christ. He's the Savior of the world. It was confirmed by John, and it was confirmed by God Himself when He says, this is my beloved Son. When that happened, Andrew accepted the Lord as his personal Savior. Now, I can remember the moment I trusted Christ. I remember the invitation to invite Jesus Christ into my life. It was given. I also remembered, I realized as I was sitting there that day, my lostness. I realized in my life, you know, if Christ doesn't come into my life, I'm going to spend an eternity without Jesus Christ. And I was under conviction that day, and for the first time by faith, I stepped out and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I remember that just as plain as if it was happening all over again. I'm wondering if you remember that day. Was it a happy day in your life? Maybe if you can't remember, it's because you've never asked Christ to come into your life. D.L. Moody said he heard of a man say this. He said this. Over the 40 years that he preached, he said he learned three things. One, he could do nothing about his own salvation, and God did not require him to do anything. And three, Jesus Christ had done it all. Folks, let me tell you something. Those are true statements. You can do nothing about your own salvation. God doesn't want you to. Jesus Christ has already done it for you. The Bible says, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ is the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man comes to the Father, the Bible says, but through Jesus Christ. If you're there here this morning and you are lost without Christ, there's not a time in your life that you remember really trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. never a time. I'm not talking about you have to remember the hour or the minute or the exact day. But in your heart, you know there's never been a time that you truly, by faith, said, Lord, I'm lost and I want you to come into my life. You never turned your life around and gave it to Jesus. You see, I believe there's more to just accepting Jesus as walking down an aisle. I believe you have to repent. There's never been a day in your life that you turned from your sin and started toward Jesus Christ. I didn't say you were perfect, but I mean you turned your life around. You started living another way. You had a different direction in your life. You are going to the world. You're living for the world. But now you realize you want to turn your life around because of Christ and what He's done for you. And now you want to walk towards Him and live for Him. Step by step, you're living for Christ. Has there ever been that time in your life like that? All Andrew did was accept Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. He heard that this is the Lamb of God. John said, this is the Lamb. He said, I'm not even fit to baptize Him. But He's the Lamb of God. If you get saved, that's what you've got to do. You've got to hear. You've got to realize you're lost. You've got to realize that Christ died for you, and He wants you to come to Him, and you're willing to go to Him. Simple, isn't it? Simple. Well, if you're an ordinary person and you want to be used of God, that's what you've got to do. You've got to come to Christ. You've got to be a child of Him to be usable. To go out and witness, to go out and tell people about Jesus Christ, you've got to have Him in your life. You see, to tell somebody about something, to witness about something, you've got to know Him. Do you know Him this morning? I can't answer that, only you can. You said, well, I've gone to church all my life, and I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your Lord and Savior? Then Andrew, let's look a little bit further, his life as God's servant. After all, if you're going to be a child of God, we are to what? We're to serve God. I believe a child of God is saved to serve. Now, only, you know, some people say, well, I'm saved, I don't have to do anything. And they only see salvation as a kind of a fire escape. But no, if you got that kind of salvation, I wonder if you really got it. You see, when you are saved, man, you want to serve God. You want to give Him your life. You want to put you all on the altar for Him. When a person is saved, I believe it's naturally that you want to serve. You know, some people join the church and say, preacher, we want to join church, but we don't want to do nothing in it. I want to ask them, well, why do you want to join in? Man, when you join something, you want to participate in it, don't you? You should. Man, you know what? Praise God. We had 270 people here in Sunday school, I believe, this morning. And Brother Howard told me that, and I said, praise the Lord. We're on the way to 300. Yeah. Now, if you wasn't in Bible study this morning, please come to Bible study. Just come and join in with the class and be a part of that class and learn people. You know, get to know one another. You might like somebody. You might even find you like a lot of somebodies. You might even like the preacher, you know. Some people go to church all their life and never know their pastor's name. I tell you, I don't know about these members. Say, I'm a member of that church down there. I'll say, well, what's the pastor? Well, I don't really know. He ain't been in about 10 years, and they've changed, and he don't know. Well, look on the board out there. Mine's there. No, it's not. I didn't want my name out there. I want you to come find me and know me personally. And folks, let me tell you something. Get involved in church. That's what you're supposed to do. The Lord's work. Get involved in the work. You're called to serve. Matthew 4 says, Jesus walking by the sea saw Peter and Andrew casting their net because they were fishers. And he said, come follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. He didn't say, okay, come join me and do nothing. He said, no, I want you to get involved in the ministry. I want you to be fishers of men. He called them into the ministry. Apart from the day that I was saved, the call into the ministry is a day that I will never, never forget. I shared that with you a couple of weeks back on a Sunday night. You see, God called me into the ministry, and he didn't call me just to sit back and do nothing. God calls his children to follow him. What does that mean? It means to walk as he walked. And Jesus Christ was always serving humanity. He always helped. He always looked for that soul that was lost. And that is exactly what he wants you and I to do, to be fishers of men. How many people you won this year? Well, you hadn't caught many fish, have you? You starved to death like that. That's what we ought to be doing. Some people say, well, preacher, I was called, but I wasn't called to witness. You got it all messed up, folks. Already your theology is bad. You are called to witness. You're called to tell people about Jesus. If you're saved, then you're to tell people about Jesus Christ. He said, listen, I will make you a fisher of men. We're called not only to serve, we're called to commit ourselves to God. 100% commitment to God. And that means he comes first in your life, folks. Yes, first place in your life. Everything else is second place. But he says, seek me first, and then all these other things I'll add unto you. The happiest days of our lives is when we're serving Jesus Christ. Andrew, the Bible says, they left their nets and followed him. Now think about that. That was their living. That was the way they made their living. And the Bible says when God called them, they left their net. Right there, I can see those old boats still sitting there. The net still hanging over the side. They said Peter probably owned several boats. He was probably a pretty successful man. He just left it. Left his business and followed Jesus. Without question. Well, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You want me to be a fisher of men? What in the world is that? You show me first what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, preacher, I would serve, but I just don't know what you want me to do. There's hesitation in there. There's a question about what you're going to do. He had no hesitation. He just said, okay, I believe this man. I'm going to follow him. He's the Savior. I'm going to give him my life without hesitation. No question. No. No hesitation. The Bible says they left their nets and followed him. Folks, let me tell you something. We must learn to trust God and obey his call. I learned a long time ago, if God can call you, he can supply you. He can equip you. I'm just an ordinary guy. I really am. I don't have a whole lot of education. Never have. The only education I got is the best education in the world, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And I believe the Holy Spirit can take you and make you. I'm not just saying you shouldn't get an education. I tell you, every kid that I know, listen, go to college, get your education, go find you a job, go to a job school, get you a job, learn to work, make a living. And if God calls you into the ministry, go get your education. Work at it. But just don't think that education is all there is. because God is the ultimate educator. He will teach you what you need to know. And we must learn to simply trust God and obey God. Let me tell you something. If it wasn't God's will for me to be here, and I didn't trust Him, I wouldn't have come to Gun Barrel City. This was probably the least desirable place on the face of the earth in 1985. I guarantee you. My wife, my kids, they were little, and I never will forget Eric. He said, "Daddy, what is beer, bait, and wine?" I said, "Well, let's just wait on that, son. You don't need to know about beer, bait, and wine." And my wife, when we surrendered here, and we still have some members, y'all are great members, no doubt about it. She said, "I was afraid of that." As we drove, I was afraid this would be the place. But you know what? She wouldn't leave it now for nothing, would you? No, I've tried to get her to a better life, and she says, "No." But I wouldn't have had a problem 30 years ago or 29 years ago. Coming up 29 years in September. Man, I tell you what, this is home. It's home because this is where God's at in our life. If God says home is somewhere else, then He'll make it available. And He will be there too. But you see, we must learn simply to trust God. And the act of Peter and Andrew to leave their nets was an act of, hey, we're committing on our part to Jesus, you see. We're not going to turn back. There's no turning back. I buried my business when he called me into the ministry. I told my brother, I said, "Let's bury everything. Let's get out of it." We did. He went one way and I went the other. Man, it's got to be a commitment on your part. There's nothing left to go back to. And that's Andrew's life. He was committed his all to Jesus. When I get to glory, I want to say, Andrew, thank you for being an ordinary man, for just being a person following your big brother. I was known as Kent's little brother. Kent's my older brother that passed away. Thank you, Andrew, for being a man that would just leave everything and follow Jesus. He put it all on the altar. He was usable because he followed God. He served because he was committed to God. And lastly, he was a soul winner. There's something about Andrew. If you study his life, he was always bringing somebody to Jesus, wasn't he? Always bringing. The Bible says he brought his own brother, Simon, and said, "Simon, we found the Messiah. We found Jesus Christ." You see, he reached his own brother. Let me tell you something. I know a lot about brothers because I've got a couple of them. They're the hardest people to reach, besides little sisters. That's an impossible task, but we'll put that past. He says, "Simon, we found. Would you come follow me? And I want to meet you, let you meet Jesus." You see, loved ones, family, bring them to Jesus. If you've got a brother or sister, hey, tell them you found Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Tell them you've got a different way of living. Show them by the way you live. It's not going to be easy. But oh, the reward when they really see that you really put everything out there for Jesus and they follow Him with their own life. You see, what a great... Not only that, He brought a young boy. When Jesus was out fixing to feed the multitude, He said, "Go out and see what you can find for these people to eat." We're talking about a Baptist celebration, 5,000 plus. And Andrew, he comes back and said, "You know what? I found this little boy. He's got some fish and bread." Man. You see, one of the most important ministries that we have as a church is these little children down here. If we don't tell them about Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. This church will die. Oh, we need the adults too. But if you're not winning little kids to Christ, the church is going to die. Think about it. Then he brought the learned ones to Jesus. His brother, the little children, and the learned ones. Verse 20 and 21 of John chapter 12 says, certain Greeks were at the worship feast. They came to Philip and asked him and said, we want to see Jesus. I don't know why Philip didn't tell him to Jesus, but Philip told Andrew, and Andrew took them to Jesus. Andrew was always pointing people to Jesus, folks. That was his lifestyle. Now, let me tell you something. You may never be a preacher. You may never be a deacon in a church. You may never be a missionary. But let me tell you, the greatest goal is to be a soul winner. That is the greatest reward that you can have. And you know what? You are a soul winner. God's called you to be. So get out there and win somebody for Jesus Christ. There's no greater goal in life to win a soul for Christ. That is an eternal reward. When you bring a little boy or a little girl or a young man or a young lady or an adult to Jesus Christ, you have entered that person into the realm of glory. When you explain Jesus to them, you know, my prayer is, Lord, make me an ordinary Andrew. I don't have to be a Simon Peter. I don't have to be a John with my name in books. Somebody asked me the other day, when are you going to write a book? And I said, never. You hadn't seen my writing, have you? I don't need to write a book. I just want to be an Andrew. Bringing people to Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. Are you usable this morning? That simply means you've given your life to Christ. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, that's the first step you need to make this morning. You need to simply say, no, I haven't made that step. I'm going to trust Christ. And when I give an invitation in a minute, I just simply want you to step out and come. You don't have to know everything. You just simply know Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you want Him as your Lord. You want to be usable. You come. I'll explain salvation to you. I'll pray with you. I'll see that you get in a Bible study class so you can learn, because you need to do that. And then serve. Are you a server this morning? Not just a sitter, but a server. I want you to serve. Not only that, are you serving? Are you soul winning? We can have 300 in this Sunday school again real quick. If each one of us, that old song, my wife sings it a lot, each one, reach one. That's all you have to do. Reach one person, each one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story about Andrew. Lord, John says, behold the Lamb, Son of God. And God says, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased. Lord, we thank you that today, as we've come here, Lord, that we'll put everything aside now, all that's going on, that we'll just focus our attention on, are we usable? Have we trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior? Am I serving? And God, if there's decisions to be made, let them make it for you, that we might worship together and work together, winning souls for Christ. Nothing else matters, really, except what you've asked us to do. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.